Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. And one of the most important things is the love of God. Now, we have covered 5 segments already. We don't know how many more we will have, but this is number 6. We're discovering the love of God in the Old Testament because Jesus said that on loving God and loving neighbor hangs all the law and the prophets. Now, you need to visualize it this way. The love of God is the support, and then the law and the prophets hang from that. It is not that the love of God is built on the commandments of God. The love of God made the commandments of God. See the difference in that? And anyone who says that the law has been done away, you just know that they don't understand a thing in the Bible. Now then, there are some things, as we have seen, that are easy to understand in the Bible. There are some other things which are difficult to understand in the Bible. And those difficult things are not impossible to understand. So that's why you need the Holy Bible in its original order. And in that, not only will you find that it is correctly translated from the original Hebrew and Greek, but also that all of the false translations, misinterpretations that you find, and especially the epistles of Paul, have been resolved. And so not only do you need that, you need something else to understand it, because as we have been going through the Old Testament, you need to understand the Old Testament is not Judaism. Now, that may come as a shock to you, and the Jews will vehemently say that is not so, but it is true. The law is the Word of God, directly from God with giving the Ten Commandments to the people. And what happened? What happened after that? The people said, oh, Moses, we'll die if we hear any more of the words of God. You go to God and you hear what he has to say and we will do it. Well, you know how that turned out. Not very well. And as a matter of fact, unless you have this book, Judaism, Revelation of Moses, or Religion of Men, and you will find that Judaism has virtually nothing to do with the scriptures of God. They're all the traditions of men. And you are going to be amazed at the presumptuous arrogance of the rabbis and what they claim concerning their traditions. And unless you have that book and you read it from cover to cover, you will never understand what the Apostle Paul wrote in his difficult to understand scriptures. So you get that book, we'll send it to you at no cost. Now then, the people of Israel then, after they told Moses, you speak to us. So here is what God commanded them in Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. So let's read it here so we can see there is the love of God in the Old Testament. And that the one who became Jesus Christ is the Lord God who spoke these words. Let's pick it up here in verse 1. Now these are the commandments and statutes and judgments which the Lord our God commanded to teach you so that you might do them in the land where you go to possess it. Just like this country, how did we start out? We started out with God. Well, how did it end up after the children of Israel? And remember, there are 12 tribes. Not just the Jews from the tribe of Judah. 12 tribes, and their descendants are still alive today. But when they went into the promised land, how did it turn out? Well, they went after other gods. What are we doing today? Going after other gods and rejecting the true God? What happened to them because they forsook God and didn't keep his commandments? They were taken off into captivity. What do you think is going to happen to us? I'll let you think on that. Because this scripture tells it all. Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I, the Lord God, who's the one who became Jesus Christ, I change not. So what do you think God is going to do to this nation because we have desecrated his word? Now let's go on here. God wanted it to be well with them. Verse 3, hear therefore, O Israel, and be diligent to observe it, so that it may be well with you, and that you may greatly multiply as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you in the land that flows with milk and honey. Do we not live in a land that flows with milk and honey? Well, not quite as much as it used to because of our sins. So in order to personalize it, you put your name here in place of the word Israel, because this was to every single person to be taken individually. So let's take it to ourselves individually, okay? Here, O Israel, you put your name there. Our one God is the Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. That's New Testament doctrine too, isn't it? Yes, indeed. Do you expect to receive the love of God if you don't love him? Well, as we have seen, you're not going to get it. It ain't going to come, friend. And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart. Now, there is a vast difference between memorizing them and you having it in your heart because you've memorized it.
Romans 1:20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse.
And the new covenant where you receive the Spirit of God and God writes them into your heart and inscribes them in your mind so that your love of God and your obedience of God comes from within, motivated by the Spirit of God. That's why it is even greater commandment today than back here. Because everything in the new covenant is based upon the old covenant, magnified to its spiritual meaning. But we begin here, because as Jesus told the scribes and Pharisees, had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Do you believe Jesus? Do you believe Moses? Let's read on. And you shall diligently teach them to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. And you shall bind them as a sign upon your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. So Judaism has a little leather package that they put the word of God in. Yes, these are called phylacteries, and then they tie it to their arm with it on their right hand, and then they have little frontlets for their forehead. Well, God wants it written in your heart by Him. You see the difference? No. Verse 9, you shall write them upon the post of your house and on your gates. And it shall be, when the Lord your God has brought you into the land which He swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you great and goodly cities which you did not build, and houses full of every good thing which you did not fill, wells which are dug which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, and you shall eat and be full. Then He says, beware that you don't forget God. Now He repeats that again here in Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter. So let's go there. So then He asked the question, why did I have you go through the wilderness for 40 years? Then He answers it. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 1, all the commandments which I command you this day, be diligent to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God led you these 40 years in the wilderness, in order to humble you, to prove you, to know what is in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not. What about your life? Is your life a mess? Have you had trials and difficulties and problems? Are you willing to be humbled by those? Are you willing to come to God and repent? Or will you be as the children of Israel? Because Paul wrote that these are for our example, that we don't do like they did. So let's think about it as we read these scriptures. And let's see that there's a parallel for us today. And He reminded them again. He said, during these 40 years, He fed you with manna to humble you, prove you, to know what is in your heart. And furthermore, your shoes didn't wear out and your clothes didn't wear out. All of those miracles. Then He says He's taking them into the land, giving them everything, as we just read. So He says, verse 10, when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which He has given you. Do you do that? Are you thankful for what God has given and where we live? He gives a warning. When there's a warning from God, it has good reason. So what about us? And even God says to His church in Revelation 3 that is called Laodicea, that they tell God, we're rich and increased with goods and we don't have need of anything. And hardly do we need you, God. So God spews them out of His mouth. Christ says, I'll spew you out of my mouth because you're lukewarm. And know not that you are poor and blind and naked. You don't have the covering of God. So it happens even with people in the church of God. Because human nature is still there to drag us down, and it is corrupt by above all things. Verse 11, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes, which I command you today. How much of God's way do you keep today? Think about it as we read these things. Let these things lead you to repentance so you can receive the love of God and you can love Him back. Verse 12, lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built goodly houses and live in them. And when your herds and your flocks multiply, your silver and your gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied. Is that what we have today? Yes, indeed. And where's our silver and gold going? To all of our enemies.
Behind these walls is one of the most secretive organizations in the world, the U.S. Federal Reserve. Whoever tries to audit them hits a wall. This place is impenetrable for audits. For years, the U.S. Federal Reserve has been the place where many countries have stored a big chunk of their nation's wealth. As the countries weathered different waves of economic crisis, economic instability, the Federal Reserve seemed to them like a more or less secure place to keep their funds. But are the funds really secure? Or are they even there? There has been speculation for a long time that the Fed doesn't actually have much gold, that it has either sold it off, lent it out, or used it as collateral for borrowings. Either way, there are many claims that the gold that is being stored on behalf of many nations doesn't actually exist. Germany has recently decided to bring home all its gold, but the Federal Reserve said that it's not possible, that it would need until 2020 to be able to accomplish such a transfer. Germany then asked to visit the Fed vaults to make sure that the gold is actually there, but the Fed first refused to permit Germany to examine its own gold. Then the Germans apparently insisted, and the Fed did open only one of nine rooms, but they were not permitted to either enter or touch the gold. The German government has stored about half of its gold supply with the U.S. Federal Reserve, so they're understandably nervous. This makes not only Germans nervous, of course. U.S. financial institutions have a history of selling things that don't exist. One example, last year, Goldman Sachs were proven to have been selling gold certificates to the public, saying that they were backed by real gold in their vaults. But the story leaked out that they, in fact, held no gold at all and were doing so-called fractional reserve gold banking on the basis that few people would want to claim their gold at any one time. Now we see many countries trying to maneuver away from the U.S. dollar as the main reserve currency, and we see many central banks increasing their own gold reserves. And it seems after all these years, the world decided they put too much power in this one building.
What happens then? And this is exactly what is going on with us today in the world. Then you become haughty of heart, lifted up in pride, filled with vanity, lust, jealousy, greed, sex, all the sins of the flesh. And you forget the Lord your God who brought you forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. He's the one who brings you out of sin. He's the one who shows you what your sins really are so that you can repent. It is not a condemnation. It is a call to repentance, to return to God, to receive not only the blessing of the physical things, but the blessing of the spiritual things. To know God, to know Jesus Christ, to know the Father, to receive His love. That's what God wants. And this is the great sin of America and Britain today. Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. Yes, we're America. We are industrious. We will work. Will any of it come to fruition if you do away with God? Or if you throw God out of your life? Or if you worship other gods? Will it? The answer is no. That's why God wants you to love Him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your being. All right, let's continue on in verse 19. And it shall be if, there's that little big word again, if you do at all forget the Lord your God and walk after other gods, serving them and worshiping them. And isn't that what they're told to do with this ecumenical movement with other religions? Go find out what the Muslims believe. Oh, go find out what the Hindus believe. Oh, by all means, find out what the Buddhists believe with all of their statues and their lies. Oh, but that's such a wonderful thing. Yes, indeed. Let us practice yoga so we can worship Christ.
Hi, I'm Janine Turner. Welcome to Christoga, Christian yoga.
Yoga-filled body,
Christ-filled soul. What a fabulous opportunity to spend a half hour, an hour, stretching and toning your body and worshiping with Jesus Christ at the same time.
And once more, please, inhaling, rising, lifting your hands, lifting your heels. Turning the palms out, exhaling, and lower. Draw your hands together in prayer.
Hello. Need to think on those things. That's not of God. I testify against you this day, and that day is always today, that you shall surely perish, yes, perish, as the nations whom the Lord destroys before your face, so shall you perish, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. Now that is the key. The key to following God is to love God with all your heart and mind and soul and being, and to obey His voice. And His voice, you don't have to wait to hear it from heaven. It's recorded for you. And so that's why you need the Holy Bible in its original order, so you can read what God has said. There are many, many, many profound things for us to learn because of the love of God. Let's see how he repeats this over and over again. And what I would like you to do, I would like you to read the whole book of Deuteronomy. It'll probably take you a couple of settings to do so. Let's come to chapter 11, verse 11. But the land which you are entering to possess is a land of hills and valleys that drink water from the rain of heaven. It is a land which the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are always upon it from the beginning of the year until the end of the year. Now let's put that toward the people of God. Are God's eyes always on the people of God? Why, yes. Even much more so, because they have the Spirit of God in their minds. He knows. How much more thankful should we be in following the laws of God, the commandments of God, the words of Christ, the teachings of the apostles that are based on the words of Christ? Now notice, here's a promise. And our promise today is not a physical land, but the kingdom of God and eternal life. So let's read it, verse 13. And it will be, if you will hearken diligently to my commandments, which I command you today, and believe in Jesus Christ, and accept his sacrifice, and walk in God's way. Remember, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So you can take the New Testament teachings, put them together with the Old Testament teachings, and you get the fullness of the teachings of God. If you will hearken diligently to my commandments, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and all your soul. Now then it talks about the blessings would come, rain, food, things like that. The blessings for the new covenant are, you will know God, you will understand the truth, you will understand the love of God. He will watch over you, he will protect you, he will give you understanding of his word. Yes, you will have trials and difficulties. That's all a part of being tested, tried, and proved. And Jesus says we're to be faithful unto the end. And that means the end of our lives, or if we live long enough, to the end of the age and the return of Christ. Then those who are dead in Christ shall rise, Those of us who are alive will be changed, and we'll all meet Christ in the air on the sea of glass. And then we won't inherit just the land in the Middle East. We will inherit the world and help Christ rule and reign to bring goodness to the whole world. That's the destiny that God has called us to. That is the whole meaning and substance of why God wants us to love Him and keep His commandments. He has a part for us to do the greatest work that this world has ever seen, to bring salvation to the world. Are those not good enough goals for us? Yes, indeed. They are great. They are fantastic. They are marvelous, all based upon the love of God. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. Be sure and watch our other website, cbcg.org. And till next time, so long, everyone.